You're listening to the Bears Brothers podcast and postgame show, the place where Bears fans across the globe hang out online after every Bears game. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Bears Brothers Podcast. We're now on day two of the Matt Nagy era, and earlier today, Nagy spoke in front of the Chicago media for the first time as head coach of the Chicago Bears. I'm your host, Will DeWitt. Tonight, I'm joined by my Bears brother, Brandon Hazlett, and we also have a first-timer on our show, one of our newest members to our team. So in a sense, he is one of our Bears brothers, but not one that you see on the podcast. His name is Steve Letizia, and we are all set to share our thoughts and our insight on Matt Nagy's introductory press conference. But before we do, I want to know, Steve, how you doing today? And again, I appreciate you stepping in here as a pinch hitter on the podcast.
I'm doing all right, Will. I'm just excited to finally get on the podcast. It took me all of one post. So I'm just excited to be here. Thanks for having me. And hopefully this isn't the last time I'm on here.
Yeah, do you want to maybe give Bears fans a little bit of your background and why I brought you onto the team, that kind of thing?
Sure. So I've been a lifelong Bears fan my entire life. I grew up actually in Cleveland, Ohio, but both my parents are born and raised in Chicago, so I didn't really have a choice when it came to my fandom. This last year, I worked for Pro Football Focus as a player participation analyst, and I used that. I learned a lot of different stuff in that role, and I use it in my first article. I'm going to continue to use it in my upcoming articles. So yeah, I'm just excited to be part of the Bears Brothers, and hopefully this is just the first of many things to come.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm excited to have you on our team. Like, you are so smart. Like, with your football analysis, having you with that post of the Notre Dame's guard, the name is facing me right now, but if you haven't read our blog recently, because we usually stick to the podcast, we did revamp our team. We added 7 new writers to the team, kind of revitalized, jumpstarted that blog this offseason. So definitely check out Steve's debut post. It's phenomenal, to say the least. And Brandon, I want to know, how are you today? I found myself last night having a hard time sleeping. I think I didn't even fall asleep about 3 o'clock in the morning because I was just so excited for this press conference today. My mind just kept going in circles and I couldn't stop it. How about you? Find yourself in a similar boat?
No, I slept just fine because I had confidence in our new coach that he was going to go up there and own the press conference like he did today. So,
all right. And I want to note, some people are probably tuning in wondering, where's Aaron Lemming? Because we did originally plan on having Aaron on the show today to both share his insight on the Nagy hire and, of course, today's press conference. But due to a scheduling conflict, we're unable to make it happen. I do apologize, but we're going to have him on here soon. So don't worry. We have all offseason to have him. And he's here willing to join our show pretty much anytime that we ask. So we'll have Aaron on here shortly. But guys, let's go ahead and just transition over to Nagy's press conference. And Brandon, I'm going to let you begin. You want to maybe share your top takeaway from the entire press conference?
Just my one top takeaway?
For now. We have all day.
Oh, okay. Just mainly that he took control of the room. I mean, he was making jokes all the time. He didn't really dodge any questions, in my opinion. I heard he could have potentially dodged the one where they asked him about personnel and how he really just needed to look at the roster, and people are saying he's looked at the roster, and he probably has. But it was a fair answer, in my opinion, because, I mean, he just got out of a playoff game a couple days ago, so I don't know that he's looked at it that closely. But really just his ability to take control of the room, own the podium, as well as some mistakes that we'll talk about later in the show concerning a recent playoff game, speaking of. But just really his ability to own the podium. He had a personality. Wasn't John Fox up there going, well, he's injured, he's this, he's that, with just very vague answers. He was open, willing to talk, and that's something that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that as well. And something else that I really just took a lot of stock in, especially earlier, was just like the passion and what he's calling positive energy that he is bringing to the table. You know, I think that's going to be highly contagious, and I really can't wait for that to like kind of infect this team, right? Spread amongst every player in that locker room to create that culture that he referenced a few times today. And Steve, how about you? Maybe what's your biggest takeaway from the press conference overall?
Well, I was going to say the same thing that Brandon did, just the way he controlled the room. You know, this is clearly a leader of men. This isn't another Mark Trestman situation. You can tell that right off the bat. Unlike John Fox, he's actually going to be a little transparent, which I liked. Another thing that I liked about what he said was when someone asked the question, I forget which reporter did it, but about the difference between a 3-4 and a 4-3. I liked how he basically said that he doesn't really care because it doesn't really matter. because it really doesn't. Because like he said, most of the time you're in your nickel defense anyway. So the subtle differences between the 3-4 and the 4-3, it's not as important as the players that you have. So I like that. Another thing I liked was, this wasn't really part of the press conference, but it was the videos that the Bears were sharing beforehand. You can see him when he saw Trubisky, you know, he lit up. Him and Trubisky are going to be working together a lot. They clearly have a good relationship. He's a player's coach. I'm not one to put a lot of stock into introductory press conferences, but I was really excited after hearing this. I was ready to run through a brick wall for him. I can't imagine what the players think.
Man, well, I'm happy that you are steering clear of those brick walls. I mean, if you would have tried, you wouldn't be here right now talking Bears football. No. I'm sure you would have found yourself in the ER. But honestly, seriously, like you said, he's a leader of men, someone who can command a room, command even like the media room as well, which is nice. He's already kind of, you know, showing some personality, humanistic in a way, right? Laughing, smiling, having some time, just going a little bit back and forth with some guys, which I really like to see. And let's go ahead and begin how it all started, right? Ryan Pace came out there and he said that this team, and he did, they set out to bring back the best leader for this franchise, period. And that statement, you know, rang true to my ears because Nagy's leadership is something that I had a hard time really gaining much insight about yesterday after the, you know, the news broke that he became the new head coach. But obviously, he impressed Pace in that regard, which always surprised me and something I'm very excited about because, you know, Nagy came back to that in his presser as well about, you know, that leadership. And he's someone who he said, you know, you're not really going to know what you can do until you actually go ahead and do it. Hinted at his recent stints as an offense coordinator, quarterback coach, not knowing exactly how those were going to go, but look what he did. Look how he succeeded. And he said it's going to be a challenge. He admits that, but he also knows there's going to be ups and downs, and he stated he's going to grow. I think he said it like 3 or 4 times that he knows he's going to grow from this experience. So I like that. He's not coming in thinking he knows all the answers. He's coming in with an open mind, believing that he needs to grow into this role, and he's all open for it. And he also mentioned his type A personality, how he's going to help him kind of lead that locker room, connect players. I said that everyone's different. How he connects to them is going to be on an individual level, which I really like. He's going to treat his players as good people and let them know that he cares for them, which he said is going to result in some good things on the playing field. Sticking with his leadership, Brandon, do you think this is the right guy to lead this franchise? Because he sold me today.
Yeah, I was actually going to kind of call you out on it yesterday. You're saying, you know, is he really going to be much of a leader? We don't know a lot about him. I think, I mean, this was just a self-evaluation of him that he says he is a leader of men, but I totally believe it. The way he just, again, like we talked about at the beginning, the way he just owned the press conference. I think that's just one great example so far, because we've only seen one example, I guess, just how he was able to be a leader, even in a room where he's not necessarily in charge. He's the one answering questions, but it seemed like he was the one up there really just taking charge of the whole conference today.
Mm-hmm, exactly. He really did. And Steve, I want to know, was there something that he said today that maybe surprised you a little bit, or that maybe just kind of had your ears perk up just a tad?
Well, I think it was just his honesty, and maybe it's just been the last 3 years of working with John Fox. I didn't really expect him to say anything at all. So the fact yeah. that he was honest, he kind of dodged the question about maybe not winning next year, but just the fact that he even entertained that question and because honestly, we might not be able to compete next year. I hope we are, but I think in his estimation that they still have a lot of work to do. So just his honesty, everything about that really impressed me.
Yeah. How about you, B? Anything that maybe took you by surprise?
Just that he really wanted to, I don't want to say this is really a surprise, but it's something that took me away, was that he wants to retain Vic Fangio. And he made that like very clear and very bold in the way that he said it, that this is an important hire for me is what he said. So just the way that he worded it, I was very important. That means that I think that Vic Fangio is going to come back. If you want my opinion, I think he comes back. But I mean, right now we don't really know.
Yeah, we're kind of in that speculative stage. Nobody knows besides probably Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy himself. And you know how Ryan Pace is, keeps things pretty close to himself, right by the hip, which apparently, you know, Nagy said during the press conference, he's going to be right there next to Pace's hip too. So they're going to be pretty buddy-buddy. And that's something that I think took me by the most surprise, how much it seems like these two genuinely hit it off. Like there's plenty of times when Nagy went out there and was like, you know, I talked to Ryan Pace and we just clicked. We just connected as like we have the same kind of vision, same kind of team, same kind of mindset and how a football organization should be run. And just having that kind of similar bond makes me wonder if this is kind of like the guy that Ryan Pace has wanted all along, because he didn't have the say in John Fox. That was more of an Ernie Accorsi kind of deal, but now he has his guy. And I think you can tell they both look a little bit more chipper. I know, this is the first time we're seeing Nagy, but in terms of like Ryan Pace, he seemed and we've talked about John Fox before, about the respect that he has for him, but you never heard him talk about Fox the way he has about Nagy today, just the way that he's a leader, the way that he's innovative, the way that he can, you know, take this team to the next level. Those are things that definitely had my ears perking up from the get-go. And Nagy said too, they just had a special, you know, bond, a special feeling between these two. So I'm very excited about that. But how about you, B? Any direction you want to take this conversation? I'm all ears.
One thing that I think I'm really looking forward to is the Ryan Pace liked to use the word collaborative lately, especially when the firing Fox thing was going on last week. How collaborative they're going to be in building a team together. Because if they hit it off like that in an interview, I can't imagine what it's going to be like in the draft room or the war room or free agency. What kind of team are they going to be able to build together? Because Ryan Pace has shown me that he's a guy that really trusts his gut. So when he's going to ask for another opinion, I think Nagy's going to do the same thing. Just very stick to what his gut is telling him. And that transparency, that collaborativeness is going to be able to build, I think, a pretty solid team down the road here pretty soon.
Yeah, I do too. I like the collaborative. It makes sense. It seems like, you know, like you said yesterday, like John Fox, he didn't even know Mitchell Trubisky is going to be traded. And you even mentioned, like, you don't see the same thing happening here under Nagy. And I don't believe so. I think these two are on the same page. They're on, they have the same kind of plan in place, the same kind of vision. And I love the fact that they're very open about criticism, like very right. fair, but respectful form of criticism, an open communication that they believe is a key to success, because Nagy talked about it. You don't want any gray area, because when you do, that kind of leads to doubt. And when you have doubt, you start to lose trust. And it's just kind of like one of those, things that kind of build upon one another. But Steve, how about you? I know you talked about him and Trubisky, and you talked about how both of their faces kind of lit up, which, by the way, the fact that Trubisky's still in house all working out right now, a week after the season's ended, just kind of is a testament to his work ethic. But how do you see these two kind of clicking from the get-go?
Well, Matt Nagy said in his press conference that he really liked Trubisky coming out of North Carolina. They spent 6 hours together pre-draft, so they clearly have at least the baseline of a relationship going on ahead of time. I think Trubisky is going to fit perfectly into his offense. Nagy runs a lot of RPOs, run-pass options, which Trubisky ran a ton in college, and everyone said that whoever drafts Trubisky is going to have to run a lot of RPOs. Well, Dowell Loggins didn't run it really any RPOs. So I think he's going to fit well in that sense. I think Nagy is going to be able to use him in rollout situations. He's going to get Trubisky on the move where he's comfortable. We all know Trubisky is great at throwing on the run, and Nagy really can coach to his strengths.
And one thing that I wanted to just add to that point that Steve was making was that I thought it was cool how Nagy kept that notebook, whatever that he kept of all his draft guys. Trubisky was in this notebook. I think it's cool that he kept it. Now he's going to be able to turn around and utilize and go, oh, well, I've seen this, and now I'm seeing it on the field. Just another thing that I thought was interesting.
Yeah, and on top of this, tomorrow we do have a post coming out from one of our other new writers. His name's Chris, and he is coming out with how well Trubisky is going to fit within this system. It's really a very in-depth piece showing all these different ways that Trubisky can be utilized and properly set up for success down the road. So definitely keep an eye out for that. Something that he mentioned, Nagy being early on in his press conference, that reminded me of a name that I don't want to mention, but it is Mark Trestman. And I was talking about, I know, I'm sorry, but... Yes, boo indeed. But it's talking about how he strives to always be a better person, a better man, and in suit, he'll be a better coach, and that he's going to kind of bring that culture and instill it within this locker room. And that's kind of Trestman-esque in a way of, you know, kind of building your brotherhood up, making sure you're striving to be the best man possible off the field. But Brandon, what are some ways that he's going to be different? Because we want him to be different. And I know he showed and proved that he's a different kind of character than Trestman. And one thing I know that he's not going to do, he's not going to sit in the back of the, you know, the film room and just sit there and let the quarterbacks right. talk it out, which I hated with a passion. The fact, like, I instructing from the back. I had a teacher when I was an undergrad who did the same exact thing, just sat in the back of a room and just would talk, and I hate it. You can't see their face. You don't get any personal interaction. Something that's got really under my skin, so I'm glad we're past that. But what are some ways that you kind of notice instantly, like, he's different than, like, a Fox, different than a Trestman, and this might be the best kind of, like, guy for the job that we've had in quite some time since Lovie Smith?
He talked about diversity in his coaching staff and how you don't want the same guy at each position on your coaching staff. And I don't know if that's something that Trestman and Fox had per se. I could see it, but I don't want to say for sure. But that's something that I think is very interesting. I don't think I've ever heard a coach say that they don't want the same guy. Like, I just don't think that's something that people think about. And just him saying that shows me that he's going to be a little bit different in some ways. And hopefully that comes to fruition and we see it on the field.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And something else I like from Nagy, and I think Steve mentioned earlier, is like his honesty with the media. But something else that he mentioned is not just he's going to be a little bit more upfront with the media, a little bit more honest, a little bit more open, a little bit more direct, but he's also going to be very honest with his players and his staff, which is, of course, you know, honesty is the best policy. But it just talks about, you know, being honest and having a culture where, like I mentioned, that constructive criticism, it's really encouraged, and he doesn't want any egos with that staff. He talked about having guys of some different personalities, which is great, because having guys with different personalities are going to connect with different types of players, because some players respond to being yelled at, others don't. Other players shut down when they hear a coach yelling at them. So other people need a little bit more of a, you know, a polite coach. I think that's like actually how Nagy said it too in his press conference, to kind of connect with that player, get them the correct teaching points out there, and to help them kind of become a better player. But I think it's going to, of course, build some trust between his staff and this roster fairly quickly. Steve, how do you kind of see maybe this honesty policy kind of playing out between the staff that he's going to build and this Bears roster, who's now inheriting its third coach in 5 years?
Yeah, so just kind of building off what you were saying, just knowing what your players need. That's something that separates them from Mark Trestman. As you said, you sometimes need to yell at a player, sometimes you need to coddle a player. I don't think Mark Trestman knew the difference there. I think he was kind of the same with everyone. Nagy, just by his press conference, just by his personality, you can tell that he's a little different. He can scout his players. He can identify what each individual player needs, and coach them based on that.
All right. And something else that Nagy really kind of took me away a little bit was you talk about Andy Reid's attention to detail and how extreme it is. Talks about, you know, all the little details of these plays, you know, this level of awareness. I think it's going to speak volumes with the team. And Brandon, I want to know, does that attention to detail kind of excite you? Because, you know, as fans, we only get, you know, the cusp of what we're seeing out there on the field, because there's so much more that goes in per play call, per play, what's going on out there. Don't you? And I think last year they kind of, especially on offense, didn't pay any attention to any details. So the fact that we're having a coach out there who pays attention to all the small things, getting his guys, putting that kind of mindset in, like, say, a Trubisky. Don't you see that kind of like elevating his game if you can get Trubisky kind of thinking about every little wrinkle in every play?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that this is just a great example. We just seen in the national championship game last night with Alabama and Georgia. Nick Saban, a guy who, a very good coach, was just, when you watched that game, he's yelling at punters, kickers, linemen, I mean, coaches, coordinators, whoever, because he's trying to make adjustments as the game goes along, because he's paying that close attention to detail to things. And if Nagy's going to be that same way, I don't want to say I expect similar results, because that might be a stretch right now. But I would assume this is a guy that I talked about when we were looking for potential candidates, that someone who's going to be able to adjust on the fly because he just pays that much attention to detail. So hopefully he brings that element to great detail. Speaking of small details, bring that to a great detail, just how much he's going to be able to adjust on the fly and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And being able to adjust, we talked about that yesterday as well, is going to be a difference, which is insane to think that we're actually talking about a former regime here leading these Bears that didn't adjust. It's kind of was stubborn in many ways. And I'm happy we're going to have a guy who, you know, not only said that he's going to adjust, but he strives on adjusting, strives on finding ways to overcome challenges. And that's something that I got excited about, especially because he said, I think at least a handful of times that I counted, that he is up for this challenge. And, you know, he had to work for every little opportunity he's got, but this is something that he's always wanted to do since he was in high school, and he's up for this challenge. He's going to make the most of this opportunity. And he just felt, kind of felt like it was fate. I mean, he even went back to like the high school in his region where he was like, where he grew up, was like McCaskey High. And that's where, you know, of course, the McCaskeys a couple of generations ago started that school. So I think it's kind of tied together, which is kind of funny how the world works that way. But not just that he's up for the challenge, but he also mentioned, you know, you talked about he shied away about the question if he's going to succeed or not early, which I think that's a fair one to shy away from. He doesn't know what he has. He doesn't know what he's going to build on. So he doesn't know. And of course, on top of that, if he says, yeah, we're going to go out there and make the playoffs this year, and then they don't, then he looks like an idiot. So he wants to make sure he's being at least cognizant of his remarks right now. But he did respond with that, like saying he is highly competitive and he's always going to be driven to succeed. So he wants to go out there and, of course, succeed as early and often. But he definitely talked about this is a long-term kind of thing with Pace and how this organization's heading. So I think it's another thing that kind of says, you know, be patient, Bears fans, we're going to be almost there. But on top of that, he talked about being an aggressive play caller. That's his nature, and he understands that it needs to be calculated aggression. So Steve, for you, you know, he's talked about being up for the challenge, someone who is highly competitive and someone who classifies himself as aggressive. As a Bears fan, how does that kind of ring to you? Is that something that excites you looking at past regimes? Or I want to know your take here.
Oh, my God. How could that not excite you after a year of Dowell Loggins not taking one shot all year downfield? So, yeah, I was definitely excited about that and saying he's aggressive. But I also like how he said you have to take calculated risks, which is absolutely right. You can't just be aggressive just to be aggressive. You have to set up those plays and then take your shot when they come.
Yeah. And, you know, that aggressive mentality is something that I think we've been lacking, that little bit of, you know, chip on your shoulder, sort of speak, here in Chicago. So I'm excited that the chip is now returning. And I want to mention something else that he talked about in terms of quarterbacks. I forgot to ask, but I think it might have been Moon Mullen. I asked him about all the quarterbacks that he's had to work with, from Michael Vick to Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes. And he was like, you know, they've all had success in one form or another. And what's kind of like the one thing that they all kind of have in common? And Nagy responded with that they all had a coach that believed in them. And, you know, I think now Trubisky has that guy in Nagy. And B, I don't know your thoughts here. How important do you think it is to have that guy? I mean, obviously Nagy sold me as that being a very, very imperative part of quarterback success. And do you believe that Trubisky now has his guy as well in Nagy? And how do you kind of expect that to kind of establish this bond between these two from an early portion and also like looking 4 or 5 years down the road?
Oh, I absolutely think that Nagy's a guy that believes in Trubisky, because it wasn't until the Bears traded up to get Trubisky that the Chiefs traded up to get Mahomes. So they wanted their guy as well, which might have been Trubisky at that time, but he went at number two. So sorry, but the Chiefs are out of luck. But good for Matt Nagy at this point. So I definitely think that Trubisky has his guy as someone that can believe in him, because John Fox apparently didn't, if he didn't know that they were going to draft him. So it's important for Trubisky now to have that coach who's going to back him, like you said, with that small attention detail, be able to adjust the game as it goes along. And I think we're going to see Trubisky's game take another step.
Yeah. I mean, everyone can't not be excited to think about Trubisky's game being elevated, his kind of him living up to his potential. Of course, we still got to get there. There's a long road ahead of us, but it definitely seems like we have a guy in Trubisky's corner who's going to go out there, try to get the most out of him, try to make him the best possible quarterback that he can be, which, you know, is going to give me a, we'll give him two thumbs up. But Steve, I want to know, is there something that you took away from this press conference that was maybe the most intriguing to you?
I'm not sure if this is the most intriguing part, but one thing that I did like that I forgot to mention earlier was when he was asked about calling the plays in the Chiefs playoff game. And he took full credit for that. He said, yes, I did call the plays in the second half, and that was on me. And he took responsibility. And that's something that he could have easily passed the buck and on to someone else, or just sidestepped the question. But he said, nope, that was on me. So that's the accountability that I've been looking for the past 3, 5 years, whatever it's been now. So I thought that was pretty intriguing. And you don't see that a lot from coaches. So I was excited to see that.
Yeah, the accountability was something that kind of, you know, stuck with me as well. Something it's refreshing to see that accountability from the head coach of the Chicago Bears. But how about you, Brandon? Do you have something that maybe coming in today that you had a big question mark circled, but today kind of got cleared up?
Really what he wants to do with the defense, because that was my one wearisome answer yesterday. And we still don't really know an answer to that, but I know that he, or at least sounds like he wants to retain Fangio. Because he knows, I think he's evaluated himself, obviously being only an offensive guy, he needs that defensive presence. And Vic Fangio, I think, is going to be his guy. Like I said, I hope they bring him back. But the confidence that he said when, you know, Fangio is an important hire to me, that's one that answered a question that he knows that he needs to get a defensive guy in here.
And back to you, Brandon, real fast. I know rapid fire, but anything else you want to mention that you had takeaways from this press conference that we have a hit on? I think we about hit on everything that he mentioned today.
Yeah, I think we have, but the one thing that just really stood out to me, and Steve just brought this up, was the accountability. That really speaks volumes, and if I imagine, as he's a head coach going through some growing pains, kind of like we've seen with rookie players, obviously this last year, I'm curious to know if he's going to be able to do that week in and week out without some sort of, what's the way I want to put this, some sort of repercussions from somebody. Ryan Pace or whoever, like, you know, it's okay that you went up to your mistakes, but you cannot keep doing this, whatever. Kind of like an Andrew Luck, I guess, where he gets hurt, but it's his fault kind of thing. So the accountability is nice, but to some degree, got to be able to work on those mistakes. And I'm just curious to know if he's going to be able to do that to a full extent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And before we move on to the closing segments of this show, I want to share a few of my favorite fan responses via Twitter. I asked fans on Twitter, like, what were your takeaways from this press conference? And Anthony said, you know, I loved it. It feels like a black cloud was lifted away from Hallis Hall. Fresh voice, something the team and organization needed. Very excited for the future and this team. And Sonny said, thought he handled it very well. Obviously, the limited play calling experience can be questioned, but just the fact that him and Pay seem to share very similar views and beliefs is key. They both worked their way up and have chips on their shoulder. The future is right for the Bears. And Chicago Jay said, for a guy who didn't have Nagy as my number one, I was extremely impressed with the presser. Nagy seems personable and honest, which I think will gain him a lot of respect quickly from the team. I really appreciate it that he owned up on the play calling Saturday night and committed to learn. And Jason said, the final one here, I thought he nailed it. Had a good rapport with the media. He was funny, and at times he was serious when it came down to it. I got chills. And at one point, I know Nagy said he had chills. I'm mentioning the positive energy and the passion he brings. And he says it's a real thing. This positive energy is real, which depending on how you look at the universe, that definitely could be a real thing. You know, good vibes and all that nature. But seriously, just everything that Nagy's bringing to the table is something that I'm just very excited about. Last night, I couldn't sleep thinking about, you know, what he's going to say in the press conference, how it's going to go over. And now tonight, I'm going to have a hard time sleeping, probably because I'm going to just kind of replay it over and over again and envision what this is going to mean for the Bears and how this next chapter is going to kind of like shape up. But before we end the show, I know that, Steve, you're working on a post. I know a few of our writers are working on some different posts in terms of how different players are going to fit within, you know, Nagy's scheme and how we should anticipate them being utilized and kind of growing. And I know one of them you had was a rookie last year, Adam Shaheen. Do you want to maybe kind of give like a Spark Notes version of what you're working on here and kind of tease your next article?
Sure, yeah. So I won't go into too much detail, but yeah, basically I'm just saying how Shaheen will work in Matt Nagy's offense. I compare him a lot to Travis Kelce, obviously. I do make sure to note that Travis Kelce is an all-pro, and I don't expect that kind of production out of Shaheen in the first year in an offense, but he can do similar things. He's going to work the middle of the field. He's going to run down the seam. He's going to really open up the offense for Shaheen, and then Shaheen's going to open up the offense for Trubisky.
So you're telling me he's going to be able to catch more than four balls in a game and maybe see more than like five snaps and like one target thrown his way?
I'm not going to go that far, but maybe.
Okay, that's fair. We need to see it before we can believe it, but that's definitely a fair point. How about you, Brandon? Any final thoughts before we end the show?
I want to swap out my grade that I gave yesterday, trade it away, I guess is where I was going with that. I want to bump it up from a B plus to an A now, just because there's Pace was a guy, like I said earlier, who sticks with his gut. That's when he went and got Trubisky, trade up to get number two. And it just seemed like another opportunity. The more I think about it, that I'm like, yeah, he went with his gut here again, and I think there's going to be a lot of good things to come. So I'm going to give this, you know, head coaching hire an A now.
Wow. It only took less than 24 hours.
Take back my B plus. I know.
I told you yesterday, if you trust Ryan Pace, you give this hire an A because you have to trust his. If you trust Pace, he trusts his gut. In return, you trust his gut, right?
Yep. That's all right. How it worked.
That's how it worked. And hey, Nagy sold you today, so that's all exciting. But I'm still at the A. I'm very high on this hire, and I can't wait to learn more about him as these kind of like days, weeks unfold, kind of what staff he puts together, kind of breaking that down as we go. But that's going to do it for today's podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts to show your support of our show. And before we sign off, I just want to let you know that we're not slowing down. In fact, we're going to be back tomorrow. I think it's early afternoon with another show. We're going to be sitting down with Seth Kaiser. He is the host of the Chief in the North podcast to give us a firsthand account of Nagy's tenure in Kansas City. Let us know what we're going to get out of this quarterback. Well, old quarterback's coach, and old former quarterback, but now our new head coach here in Matt Nagy. We're going to learn a little bit more about him and his tenure in Kansas City, kind of how Chief fans viewed him and what they anticipate him doing as a head coach here in Chicago. But until then, well, bear down, Chicago.